Henry Ford, when he was talking about, you know, automobiles in the early days, he said, if you asked a customer what they wanted, they would have told you they wanted faster horses. And they made the car. So for us, it's like, yeah, we can ask our customers what they want, but sometimes a customer doesn't even know quite how to articulate that. And we try to take on those challenges and really solve those problems.
Welcome to the RV Entrepreneur Podcast, the weekly show for nomads, work campers, RVers, and entrepreneurs looking to earn a living or build a business while enjoying the RV lifestyle. This week's host is Jim Nelson. Let's settle in and enjoy the RV Entrepreneur Podcast brought to you by RV Life.
I'm so excited to share this chat I had with Chris and Jen from Escapod Trailers. Hello, I am Jim with RV Life, your host for this episode of the RV Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited because when I think of teardrop trailers, I've always pictured those DIY minimalistic builds you see many people making. I didn't think you could get the comforts of an RV in such a tiny rig, or that they'd be rugged enough to take on any serious overland excursion. That is, until now. The Escapod is a solid little unit with a ruggedized suspension and two trim levels to meet the needs of anyone hoping to get off the beaten path and enjoy their stay. And the story behind the company is another example of some adventurous folks who built an excursion rig to meet their own demanding needs to be comfortable when hitting the trail to get away from it all. We talk about trends in the RV industry, the way manufacturing is a lot like professional kitchen work, and how product development can be similar to birthing your baby and watching it grow up. And we discuss how telling your brand story and getting others to share it is vital for marketing in today's competitive marketplace. Don't miss Kimberly's article on storytelling marketing at therventrepreneur.com/news for a deep dive on that. But I digress. We cover quite a bit here, so let's get started right after this short break.
Bid farewell to the stress of travel planning with RV Life Trip Wizard. This feature allows you to customize your routes, avoid potential hazards, and even discover the best campgrounds based on real user reviews. It's not just about reaching your destination, it's about enjoying the journey. And with RV Life Trip Wizard, every journey is effortless. Learn more about this game-changing feature at rvlife.com.
Thank you guys so much for joining me. I'm really excited to talk about Escapod Trailers.
Thanks for having us.
So we met through Dylan Brown of Terra Bikes. I recorded a great interview with him on episode 313. People might want to check that out. We met because we both have Project Am lightweight truck top campers. And my wife and I, we enjoy getting way off the grid. We've traveled, you know, for 16 plus years in a fifth wheel, but we were kind of getting too comfortable. So we've downsized into this truck camper. It's a lot more like camping again. And we see some sort of small ruggedized trailer in our future. So I'm excited because you guys do make the Escape Pod or Escapod trailer. And I can't wait to dive into that story. But first, real quick, this is technically the RV Life Entrepreneur Podcast. So I start all my shows with two quick questions. When were you two first introduced to the RV life? What did that look like? What shape did it take? And what does that look like now?
Just you or me?
Chris always looks to me to tell the storytelling.
Yeah, if there's a subjective question, I look at Jen, and then if there's a nerdy building question, then she'll look at me.
That works.
But yeah, no, I love this. This is great. So, you know, the RV life, I think what's really cool about this as to where we're at today is like, this used to be really defined, right? Like you would say, okay, the RV life is you show up at the KOA and then you bring, you know, you open up your fifth wheel and you plug into shore power. And, you know, this used to be so defined. And I think what's really cool about where we're at is in the past, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, RV life has kind of changed and it allows people to kind of define what it means to them. And for Jen and I, what that meant was that we were able to get home on a Thursday night, grab our mountain bikes and shove them into the back of the truck and pick up the trailer and head to the mountain bike race and meet our friends there. Right. And so we were racing mountain bikes. We had tons of friends who were traveling around to different races and we were able to do that really quickly. And so RV life meant for us was the ability to access the activities that we really loved and to be comfortable and mobile while doing that. And so, you know, we would have a race in a different location every weekend. And the camper, the Escapod at the time, really provided the ability to do that in some level of comfort.
Awesome.
To answer the timeline part of that question, Chris and I both grew up camping and had some experience backpacking. So our foray into RV life in general was when Chris came to me in 2014 and said, I'm going to build us a teardrop trailer. And I said, what's a teardrop trailer? And he proceeded to build the first camper that we traveled in over, you know, the next 6 months or so. And then, yeah, I mean, it very much at that time was about getting out the door quickly. And, you know, today it's still about being able to get out the door quickly. But now we have, you know, two kids in tow, a little more going on.
Quick is redefined.
Quick is redefined for sure. Quick sure. is relative, but it's made it all possible.
And this all led into launching Escapod and a manufacturing business. We're going to dive into that. But by starting that, you guys are entrepreneurs. What does it mean to be an entrepreneur? What does it take? Entrepreneurism.
Ooh, it takes nerves of steel and naivety, maybe. You know, Chris had always had desires of starting his own business. I, from a very young age, had the fortunate opportunity to pursue my passion. I became a professional skier at 17 years young. So before I could even really conceptualize what it meant to be an entrepreneur, in many ways, I was one. And when he came to me in 2016 and said, I want to turn this trailer thing into a real business, I just looked at it as an opportunity for him to follow his passion and create something. And I think, you know, being an entrepreneur does allow you to do that. It allows you to turn the things that you love and you're excited about into something that can support your livelihood. It can sound really nice and idealistic. It's not always so easy. You know, I think you end up working much longer hours and a lot harder for yourself than you do for other people. But the return and that investment, you know, you're building your own skill set and you're setting yourself up for your future. And so the return is always there in some form.
Definitely, definitely a lot more rewarding if you ask me. And I believe it sounds like this launch into manufacturing was your first entrepreneurial effort, that your first business you've launched. What did you do in your previous lives? I mean, did you have manufacturing experience?
Yeah. So I come from a history of hospitality. So restaurants and hotels specifically. Towards the end of my career, I was brought in as a general manager into, you know, either struggling or failing businesses at the time, mainly because I have a lot of energy around fixing things. I love to build process to identify where things are breaking. And I love the need to change things quickly in order to make something better. And so, you know, people often miss that food service is all about production.
Sure.
If you look at a production line, it's no different than any other product line. In many ways, it's more complicated, right? Like, luckily, trailers don't spoil and trailers don't make people sick. Well, some trailers make me sick, but the truth is that, you know, the production line that occurs in a restaurant is no different than the production line that occurs in our physical space of building trailers today. A lot of the employees are similar and what drives them is similar. So if you have, you know, a chef, you know, you guys have seen all the shows. It's like this chef is like passionate about food and where the product comes from. And that's no different than an engineer that's designing product, right? They are a chef of the physical world. And working with that type of person is really no different. You know, a lot of times passion drives that. You know, man, dealing with a welder is no different than dealing with a cook on the grill. You know, they have the same type of personality. They have the same drive. They have the same pride for what they do. And so, you know, there's more similarities than I think that people realize.
I love this analogy. I've spent a lot of time in kitchens in one of my previous lives, and there's lots of ingredients and an audience that demands the best. That, you know, if they're going to pay a lot for an expensive meal, they want the best thing and they'll send it back if they don't like certain things. So tell me about the Escapade trailer. For those who haven't seen this, it's amazing. It's the one thing that intrigues me about it is like one solid body from what I believe. But what are the key features? It's a teardrop trailer, like you said, but what are the basic specs? What is it weigh? What kind of vehicle is required? In a nutshell, what's the Escapade?
So we have currently, our product is the Topo 2. We have two different trim levels of the Topo 2, the Nomad and the Voyager. The Nomad we just launched at the beginning of October. The Nomad starting weight is 1,650 pounds. The Voyager weighs in around 1,920. Mm-hmm. So just under 2,000 pounds. And, you know, I think the things that make the Topo 2 in general special is that monocoque body. So it's a single piece shell, but it's also structural. So there's no separate structure from that exterior shell, which just means there's nothing to rattle apart as you take this down the road. All of our trailers are designed to get away from the crowds, to handle really rough terrain. So they come standard with our free ride suspension, which is an independent suspension system that Chris designed amidst the pressures of the pandemic. We weren't satisfied with the products that we had available to us. And he was, again, just inspired to make something better than what existed and to make something specific for the size and function of our trailer. So the free ride suspension came to be through all of that. And we back our trailers with a 5-year manufacturer's warranty, which is pretty serious in terms of the RV world. It's not always the easiest thing to manage and handle as a growing organization, but we believe in our product and we believe in the entire experience of not only your experience using your trailer, but interacting with the business and the journey as you're waiting to get your trailer that is designed just for you and built just for you, but also, you know, taking care of you after the fact, because these are lifelong purchases for a lot of people. They're products that with the way that they are designed and the construction processes that we're using now can really last for decades. And people think about being able to hand these down to their kids. You know, we have a lot of customers that like to reference that the Airstream, you know, the longevity of something like an sure. Airstream. And that is really what we're striving for.
So it sounds like you guys are building these from the ground up, suspension and all. But and I don't know if, is it a fiberglass shell or explain monocoque? What exactly was that term all about?
I'll let Chris dive into that.
This is great.
Further.
What's really special about the Topo 2 is the fact that we do design the Topo 2 with composites. Or build the Topo 2 with composites. And what's really special in that, because composites in the RV industry aren't all that special. If you look at a Jayco or if you look at like an Ember, you know, you have composite walls. What that is composite sheeting that is then cut and then affixed usually through an adhesive to the exterior of some sort of skeleton.
Laminate process.
Lamination process, right? Yeah. They do it. I mean, we used to do it in Topo 1 with aluminum. You can do it with composite sheeting. You can do it with wood and put a covering over it. So there's so many different ways to do this idea, right? And so composites aren't really all that special in the world of RV or new, I should say. What is new is the way that we took a look at composites. And so what we did is we took a look at the aerospace industry and designed the Topo 2 with a process called infusion. And what infusion allows us to do is to take fiberglass, lay it into a mold along with other items. So PET foam, magnets, plywood, whatever we want to lay in the mold, to put a bag over the mold and then pull through suction resin that basically saturates the cloth and everything inside. And so what you end up with is a structure that doesn't need a substructure under it. So if you look at that Jayco, you might see that there's a wood substructure underneath of the composite that when Jen talked about rattling or coming apart, that's where you see your failures.
Right.
And so if you take a look at the Topo 2, the entire structure of the body is all one piece, including the PET foam, which is the insulation and also the strength to the product. And so what you ended up with was that really lightweight trailer as well, which is, you know, we have tons of capability at 1600 pounds. I mean, it's incredible. Yeah. You know, it's not a cheap process. And the other part is it takes skilled labor. It's not just, you know, put it on the CNC machine and cut it out. It's a very skilled process, which is really cool.
So monocoque in particular, did I get that word right? And what does that stand for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, in layman's terms, it just means that the entire thing is one piece, right? We're not doing on the body itself, we're not doing secondary bonds or any secondary mechanical attachments.
In layman's terms, it means that the body supports itself.
The shell is the frame. It's strong
the
enough
is,
that it supports
the structure.
Itself. Yeah, it is the structure.
Right.
There is no frame. It is the structure itself.
There is no internal frame, right? We just have the frame underneath the trailer that everything sits
awesome.
On top of and then gets towed down the road.
So let's jump to the business side for a minute here. The RV market and the camper market in general, it's so saturated and competitive. Overlanding is becoming even more popular. How did you guys launch Escapod so that it stands out from the rest of the rugged trailers out there and small lightweight RVs that people want to take?
Good question. I think from the very beginning, we knew that, you know, even from the first trailer, we knew that we had a beautiful design and a trailer that could sell itself. But the thing is you end up with a small business of a distribution problem, right? Like, how do you in Alaska see a trailer that's 5,000 or 6,000 miles away? And so the only real answer at the time was a good web experience, right? Something that really mirrored the brand values, the things that we were really proud of and really built on the experience. And so we've always prioritized how we talk about the product and how we display the product and how we build the brand in line with the physical product as well. And so when you know, I think a lot of people get caught up in is that a brand is just the physical product, but it's only a small piece of it, right? Like manufacturing is very small physical product design, and it's a lot of other things, and especially when you're going direct to customer like we do.
Yeah. Chris and I started this company, you know, in my mom's garage. We literally built the first Escapods in my mom's garage. And it was a passion project initially. And that passion project pretty quickly revealed that it had some legs to stand on. We took what we knew from our experience looking at other trailers and thinking about purchasing other things and said, what don't we like about this? And then tried to make sure that we did the opposite of that. But as things started to prove that they could be bigger than they were, we asked ourselves, well, what does it take to get to that next level? Recognized where our skill sets fell short, and in late 2018 brought in two partners that really helped to do the things that Chris was talking about.
Yeah.
Take the design of not only the product to the next level, but also the website and that digital experience. So Chris Eckel and Joshy Fishbein joined our team at that point and really helped us to elevate it. And while we were still very much like a mom and pop company at that time, the web experience that customers were having felt a lot more sophisticated. And I think we were really pretty early on in defining what that direct to consumer model could look like without needing to deal with dealers and to step up a few notches from that mom and pop experience.
And that really shows. I just spent some time on your website before we started recording here, and it's an incredible experience. I immediately found a map where people can go and look and find a trailer near them, that because you got to see these things to believe them and get the hands-on feel. So you have a way through locations and ambassadors out there on the road. I found that there's an Escapod in Fairbanks, and I'm, you know, a few hours south of that. I mean, in the middle of Alaska, who would have thought of it? But it all comes down to that telling the story. We talked about branding there for a minute. And this type of lifestyle product is so important to tell the story behind the product, which is what you're doing with these ambassadors and the website experience and the social media channels and such. But is there a typical Escapod customer? What's your target market look like?
I think the typical customer at its baseline shares a few wants, but I don't know that I could truly define the typical customer, because I think there are variations within that. But it is somebody who wants to be mobile, to have a comfortable place to camp and then to enjoy the outdoors. They don't want to be held back by a much larger unit, and they want to be able to access some amount of solitude in a world where it's getting harder to find. And I think that the one thing that all of our customers share is that they're aspirational. And so, you know, if I go to the East Coast, it's like, I want to buy an escapade so I can go visit the 5 national parks in Utah. And if I come to Utah, it's like, hey, I want to get an escapade so I can travel to Alaska and experience true, you know, solitude in the last frontier, right? And so it seems like that all of our customers are truly aspirational. And that's a really cool thing for us, because we're like, okay, how do we build a product that allows people to reach their dreams? And that's a really fun task.
Awesome. Awesome. So when it comes to these type of trailers, the teardrop style, what are the current trends in teardrop style and overlanding trailers? In RVs, they seem to be getting bigger and more comfortable. And we lived 16 years in a fifth wheel and downsized to a small truck tamper. But it seems your audience may want the more ruggedized rig that, you know, lets them do some more traditional camping. So are there trends that you guys are jumping on board or creating?
So there are definitely trends. And I think we're always trying to keep an eye on a trend and ask ourselves what is going to be a lasting trend and what is going to be a fleeting trend. One of those things that you mentioned is that ruggedized aspect. And what we found in the industry, especially for overlanding and off-road trailers, was that in order for something to be deemed capable of off-roading, it had to fit this specific aesthetic where, you know, everything is really boxy and bolted onto the outside and so many things going on with the trailer. And with the Topo 2, we really kind of went the other direction. And we said, well, what do you actually need to make a trailer rugged? You need to protect all of the componentry, right? All these things that are being bolted onto the outside. You actually want to put those inside so that you can protect them from the elements, from the hazards of the road. So, you know, the Topo 2 Voyager has all of the mechanicals nested inside of the trailer. The water system is inside of the trailer, the water tank, it's protected. The underbelly of that trailer is extremely clean. The only thing that you see exposed is the suspension. And so we know that customers are demanding capability, and we know that customers want durability. But we did break the mold a little bit in the aesthetic of how you deliver that. So I think that's kind of one of the things that makes our team special, is that we try to look at the things that customers want. There's a Henry Ford, when he was talking about, you know, automobiles in the early days, he said, if you asked a customer what they wanted, they would have told you they wanted faster horses, and they made the car. So for us, it's like, yeah, we can ask our customers what they want, but sometimes a customer doesn't even know quite how to articulate that. And we try to take on those challenges and really solve those problems and then find the right way to communicate to the customer that here, this is how we've actually solved the problem that you have and why this trailer suits your needs.
Ever found yourself lost in the middle of nowhere with no signal? With the RV Life app, that's a thing of the past. Enjoy reliable offline navigation, lane guidance, and turn-by-turn voice directions, ensuring you're always on the right path. Navigate the open road with ease and confidence. Visit RVLife.com to download the app today and start exploring without limits.
So that's a perfect segue into my question that I had about, you mentioned two different trim levels for the trailer. How do each of those satisfy the specific needs of those two separate customers?
Yeah, great question. The Voyager is going to have all of the bells and whistles. So all of the capability is going to be fully integrated into that trailer. It comes with a 21-gallon water tank, 2-burner stove fully integrated. And all of these things, you know, once you flip a switch and, you know, push a button, everything works like it would work in your house. You turn the heat on in a similar way. As long as the propane tank is open, you're going to have your access to your hot water and your cabin heat. You can use the water system in the freezing months. You know, the customer that we have in your area up in Alaska camps in below freezing temperatures all the time and has full functionality of his trailer, which is, especially in a trailer of this size, a very, very special thing. I think we're the only company to truly do it. And this trailer, the Voyager, will come with a slightly higher price tag. It's simple in the fact that everything is all ready to go, but it may require a little bit more maintenance, and it's less flexible in terms of how you can use it or outfit it because we have put everything in it and said, this is where these things go. So the Nomad is a simplified version of the Voyager. It still uses that same body construction. The suspension still has that same warranty. So all of the things that we believe are the most important qualities of a trailer in terms of an insulated, comfortable place to sleep, plenty of storage, makes your camping experiences easier and faster to get out the door. Both trailers have that. The Nomad is a little bit more flexible in terms of how you can use it. So we have removable water jugs, for example. You can use our system or you can incorporate your own water system. We have an area where you can store your own collapsible and portable stove, and you can either set that up at the trailer or you can bring that over to a picnic table if you're camping at a campground. And if you don't have a campground because you're truly off-grid, you can set that up within, you know, the constraints of your trailer and use the stove there. There's tons of storage in the Nomad, a lot of open space inside of the cabin. So it's going to be a great option for people that have kids and need a little bit more storage space to bring along clothing or different accessories for life at camp. So both just serve a really great camping experience, but just in a slightly different way.
And it sounds like you're really addressing the needs of that specific niche of the people that want to get out there but still be comfortable. Because when I first thought of Teardrops, I think of the DIY minimalistic. There's no water system. There's no power system. But then on the other hand, I've seen ones that are getting, you know, teardrop shape, but I wouldn't call them a teardrop because they're so much bigger. Or they even have a whole hatch that, you know, gives you a roof extension. And you're kind of meeting that middle ground and helping people get back out there. So walk me through your kind of product development cycle. Do you follow trends in the marketplace or do you break new ground or how do you make these decisions about new models and options?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. You know, we of course look around us and try to kind of determine what the next step in the market is. You know, I think that the Nomad is a relatively new release for us, and that's because we wanted to offer a trailer that was more customizable. And we had heard people saying, hey, listen, like I already have the stuff that I've camped with for the past 20 years. I just want a platform to use the equipment that I already own. Right. And so in that case, we really looked to the market to tell us what we wanted to do next. That said, we are definitely a leader in the teardrop market. You know, we've had multiple calls with larger companies and smaller companies. And, you know, it's like, you know, there is information sharing across us because we are trying to kind of all accelerate together. And so, you know, we're always trying to lead the trends as to what quality looks like for a manufacturer, as to what production quantity looks like for a manufacturer. And we've done a really good job of kind of guiding that trend. We've maintained a direct-to-customer base, which is very hard to do as you scale and you own a lot more of the risk. But we do feel it's really important for us. You know, we're able to control the customer experience, unlike the larger brands are. You know, the larger brands hand off a trailer to Big Bob's RV box store, and then they hand off the entire experience where we're able to control that front to back, which is pretty amazing.
That is amazing. When did this begin and what have been the greatest challenges since then? And then how has that been affected by COVID?
Sure. It's so funny. I mean, it's, you know, that you asked about entrepreneurship at the beginning of the podcast, and it's, I think it, as an entrepreneur, you got to love challenge. You have to have a higher than probably what some would consider acceptable level of risk. And so if you ask me what the biggest challenge was a year ago, it's a very different answer than what it is today. current state of the market, you know, it shifts to how do you earn sales in a market where interest rates are really high and you're selling a capital item, which is expensive. A year ago, it might have been, okay, we're kind of coming out of COVID. How do you increase production? And then a year before that was, how do you get the parts? Right. And so every day with entrepreneurship, you're lucky to be served a new problem. And that just means that you're able to continue to grow and separate yourself from the competition, right? You hope, and the reason that you're an entrepreneur is you firmly believe you can do it better than those around you. If you're going to open a bagel shop in your hometown, you feel like you probably have the best bagels or the best cream cheese, you know? And if you're going to build a trailer in a market that does have a lot of competition, you better believe that you have something really special. And I think that challenge is what creates special.
Well said. But when it comes down to the COVID pandemic in particular, the RV industry kind of blew up then. You couldn't find a van back then. They were all back ordered. So you guys launched just prior to this and then how did COVID play a role?
Right. We launched the Topo 2 just prior to COVID or at the very beginning of COVID.
No, false. Untrue. Not
timeline is bad. Definitely. Maybe I'll enter into the timeline
stuff.
Yeah,
I'll answer the question. let me take this one. The company we founded in June of 2016. It was just Chris and I. We were building, like I said, in my mom's garage, and then we had a stint on a little hippie commune down in Salt Lake when we needed more space, and then we landed ourselves in a small 1,800 square foot shop about 10 miles from where we are today. And that was in 2017, I think we started building in there. In 2018, like I had mentioned, Chris Eckel and Joshi Fishbein joined the team. Chris Eckel moved to Utah from New York City. Chris Hudak left his restaurant job, and the two of them started building in this 1,800 square foot shop, and were just cranking out trailers, the two of them. In late 2018, we hired our first employee. By mid-2019, I think we had about four or five guys maybe working with you building trailers.
Yep.
And in late 2019, we purchased the building where we're sitting now. This is an old used car dealership that had been unoccupied since the 1990s. The reason we purchased this building and started renovating it was because we, at that time in late 2019, had about a 15-month lead time. We had maxed out our production capacity in this shop at about three trailers a month and, you know, had 45 customers in the queue. And we wanted to be able to serve more customers because they wanted our product. So we took the leap to expand and moved into this 10,000 square foot building. The renovations were complete in March of 2020. I had a baby in March of 2020. And then the pandemic hit. And there were moments where we were like, are we going to make it? I mean, what is going to happen? What is this pandemic going to do? Everything is shut down. You know, how are we going to pay rent? Do we keep our staff working? And navigated that to the best of our ability. And then, you know, sure enough, for the RV industry, the pandemic ended up being a very good thing for RV demand. And despite moving in here and shrinking that queue down, we pretty quickly got that queue back up to about a year long because we scaled our production up to about 10 trailers a month fairly quickly. And in July of 2020, sold 60 trailers in a single month, pre-sold, right? We weren't building them and delivering them, but we had 60 customers signing purchase agreements saying we want one of these and we're going to wait for it. So that was wild. And then like Chris mentioned, it was just that whole phase was like figuring out how to increase production to meet demand. And then it was, how do we produce the number of trailers that we're capable of producing when we don't have the parts to produce them? I was just joking the other day. I'm like, man, remember when we were trying to solve the problem of how to get the dumpster emptied quickly enough? Like things like that. And all of a sudden you're on the other side of that. You know, we launched Topo 2 in 2021. But started designing it in late 2020. And in part was to solve that productionization problem and being able to scale our production, which with our original product, we didn't feel like we could do. And then through, you know, the whole process internally with our team figured out here's how we can make this trailer really exceptional and take the need to build something quicker as an opportunity to also build something better. And that's kind of what brings us to the Tapo 2 today and the two different trim levels and now trying to navigate, like Chris said, on the other side of that surge in demand is how do we settle into what is going to be the continued demand for our product and make sure that we can continue to grow and achieve all of our goals and support our customer base as well as our employee base and check all the boxes.
That's a good problem to have. And it goes back to, seeing those challenges, getting through them and coming out ahead. And it sounds rewarding to come out the other end of COVID having done all that. But what's been the most rewarding part since you've started this Escapade Trailers business?
You or me?
It's probably different for both of us.
Where to begin?
Where to begin? No, I think it's the employees. I mean, it's really the fact that we have 50 employees here that we feel really dedicated to make better lives for and to give opportunity for. We have people who drive huge mileage to show up every day because they love what we're doing. And so, we're driven, or at least I'm driven to provide them with further opportunities and to give them the ability to grow within Escapade, which is really cool. We've had employees who have gone from, floor sweeper to CNC operator to, manager or supervisor. And it's really cool to have that growth alongside other humans. And that's one of the coolest parts that just drives us to make sure we're really successful and to continue to offer jobs here in rural Utah.
That's cool.
It is sometimes astounding, though, when I had a moment just walking through the shop the other day where I was looking at the new Nomad and the Voyagers that it's sitting next to, and where the first trailer that we built is nothing like the trailer that we're producing today. And it was in, 7 short years that we went from building with materials that you can buy in Home Depot and hand tools to something that, took millions of dollars of investment in order to create. And in looking at it, I mean, if you showed that trailer to Chris 7 years ago and said, you're going to design and build this, and you're going to have a company that produces this, I don't know that you would have believed that. It's unfathomable. And somehow we got here because we are always just willing to take that next step and push ourselves. And largely Chris's fearlessness has allowed us to do that. And he's a great leader and visionary that has really rallied to create something great. And yeah, we're pretty lucky. So I'm going to cry.
That shows. And I can only guess that it's kind of like having a baby. I mean, you had this child, not the literal child, but you gave birth to Escapade Trailers, and now you're watching it grow up and evolve. And it's going to evolve as much as you feed and nurture it. So that comes down to the marketing and the promotion and the sales and getting the word out there. And I wanted to talk about marketing for a second. I noticed you guys have a genius little marketing thing going on called If You Fly, We'll Buy. You'll actually reimburse people up to $500 if they fly in to Utah to see your unit and end up buying one. What has been your most successful or genius marketing idea? I thought that was pretty genius. Is that it? Or what else have you guys done to notice you have ambassadors? What have you done on the marketing side to help nurture this baby?
I think the important, like if I was going to part wisdom, which I don't know that I can, but
please do,
would be that, please. Yeah, exactly. You have marketing is all about, you have this captive audience, right? And so you maybe have, 10,000 people in your newsletter subscription or 100,000 people in your newsletter subscription, right? And at least for the captive audience marketing, it's always trying to figure out how to, we always say like ripen the fruit, right? We have people who are like maybe right on the edge, but is it You Fly, We'll Buy that gets them to purchase? Is it offering zero down financing that gets them to jump over that ledge, right? And so you're always trying to adjust your strategy to really what suits the market environment and the people that are close to the purchase process. Now, to get them into that marketing funnel is different strategy, right? So maybe it's a big leap for me to tell you there's zero down financing if you've never heard of Escapod, right? And so the marketing around how do you get someone to engage with the brand is different than the marketing of how do you get somebody to purchase a product. And it's very similar in the sense of you're always trying to figure out what's going to get people to start to engage with the brand. We do great with the Made in America part, right? People love to see our workers building trailers. And that is a really great way that we continue to engage with people in the process and getting them into our marketing flows.
What do you think, in general, the future of RV and teardrop manufacturing looks like?
I do think that consumers are going to continue to demand better quality. I think the RV industry has kind of been plagued with a quality issue for a long time, and it's been a battle to the bottom line of just how do we make this cheaper and push out volume. But I think people want something that is better built now and will last longer. And then I think accessibility is another piece. You know, you were talking earlier about how you've had a fifth wheel for 16 years and you got a little too comfortable. And I think that, you know, in some ways RVing and in a fifth wheel is a great way to travel and experience seeing different parts of the country, but it's not necessarily camping. And I do think that there are more people that are wanting to figure out how they can be immersed more in the great outdoors and have that disconnected camping experience, but still have some of the comforts from home. So packing more capability into a smaller footprint are definitely things I think people are going to want more of.
Definitely, I do. With that in mind, what's next for Escapod? Where do you guys see this company in 5 or 10 years? You going to branch out into dealerships or keep doing what you're doing or what's next?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I think the distribution is going to be something that we focus on in the next, you know, 18 months or so, getting our trailers closer to more people. I wouldn't expect that looks like a normal dealership model that you would, like we talked about before, with like the Big Bob's Big Box RV, what did I call it? Something like that. But, you know, I think that we'll do it in the way that makes a lot of sense for Escapod to continue to connect with customers. I think that distribution for us, because, you know, because of how the Topo 2 is built and what we've put into the production line, allows us to scale with sales. And so now we get the fun job of scaling sales, which is a lot of fun. And that allows you to imagine of saying, okay, you know, with production rate, is there savings that can be offered to the end purchase price? Is there additional capability that can be offered with production quantity? And so you get to do new challenges like we've talked about to continue to grow the organization. And I would expect that to continue. And then I would expect in the longer term for us to continue to develop the product, whatever that looks like in the future. And, you know, I think we're a company who recognizes that the Topo 2 is truly special and teardrop camping is truly special, but might not fit everyone's exact needs. And so as we develop or identify more needs in the market, we'll continue to fill those.
Well, I look forward to watching this happen and can't wait to see one in person. I might need to get up to Fairbanks to see one of your ambassadors there or get down to Utah. But where's the best place for people to learn more about Escapod Trailers?
The best place is on our website. I mean, you can find links to all of our social media platforms through our website, but all of the information about our trailers, as well as different opportunities to see a trailer, are all easily found on our website. So you can find us there at escapod.us.
Fantastic. We'll make sure we get those links in the show notes and get a bunch of photos from you guys to show everyone out there. So I really appreciate the time you took and wish you the best in your endeavors. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Jim. Really appreciate you having us on.
Thanks for tuning in. If you haven't yet seen it, check out the Escapod trailer. Chris and Jen really have given birth to a beautiful baby there, and it is growing up to be quite a strong little rig, popular with the adventure travel crowd. Let us know what you think in the RV Entrepreneur Community Group on Facebook or at therventrepreneur.com/news. And for more insight to all sorts of RV lifestyle adventures and challenges, be sure to tune in to the RV Life podcast at podcast.rvlife.com.